The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing that he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. The story of the 10 lepers is one that the church uses on Thanksgiving Day, which is about 15 minutes from now. I mean, the way the year is rolling along. So it's awfully hard to preach on this. It comes up almost on Thanksgiving Day, every year just before Thanksgiving Day. So I'm not going to preach on that, because if I do, I'm going to be out of ammunition. I'm not going to have anything to say on Thanksgiving. So I'll tell you about the first reading instead, because here's something that's greatly neglected. We've been hearing all week long from St. Paul's letter to Titus. And it's a letter you almost never hear anything about, because it's so simple. I'll tell you about St. Paul's letter to Titus. Titus is Paul's friend, and he lives on the island of Crete. And you remember Pentecost Sunday, when in the city of Jerusalem, St. Peter gets up to preach to all the crowds assembled below from all the different nations, and he preaches in one language and everybody hears him speaking in his own native language? Well, Acts of the Apostles tells us some of those people were Cretans, and they went back to the island of Crete and they established the church there. And now Titus is the bishop in Crete, and he's trying to establish the church in extraordinarily hostile conditions. Crete was one of the most unsavory places in all the Roman world. Crete is a great big island in the Mediterranean. It's the southernmost island of Greece. Absolutely beautiful place. I've actually been there. Beautiful place. But the ancient Roman author Livy and the poet Epimenides, they describe Crete as being a center of fraud, greed, violence, ferocity, and falsehood. The ancient Greek slang word for to tell a lie was to cretinize. It was a slang word for to lie. And here's Titus. He's trying to establish the church in this hostile environment. And that's where the letter to Titus becomes helpful to us in our own time, because would you describe this as a hostile environment for Christianity? I would. And listen to what he says. He talks about the holiness of the people. You want to establish the church, Paul says? He says, first thing you got to do, make sure the leaders of the church are exemplary. We were hearing about that on Monday and Tuesday. Make sure the bishops and the priests are exemplary. And couldn't we use a heck of a lot more of that in our own time, right? But the very first thing that he says, but then he goes and he talks about the holiness of the people. And he assumes, when he says this, he assumes that you've got an interior devotion already that should show itself exteriorly in everything that you do. And he says, tell them, be obedient to the magistrates, be obedient to the authorities. Make sure publicly they are exemplary citizens. And remember, when he's talking about authorities and magistrates in his time, he's talking about a level of corruption in government that it's like nothing we have in our own time. And you'll hear about Paul and you hear about St. Peter talking about, say, obedience to the emperor. And we forget, they were talking about the Emperor Nero. I mean, you think you got it bad. Nero killed his own mother. I mean, unless you've lived through Hitler and Stalin, okay, you haven't seen anything like that. And he says, be exemplary citizens and obedient to lawful authority so that nobody can blame you for anything. And then he talks about our behavior with one another. And this is where we need to perk up and listen. Because take the first word he tells us about how to be holy in a public environment. He says, beware of slander. First thing he says. And I'm telling you, slander is the big sin in our own time that nobody's talking about. Have you ever given in to the dark joy of gossip? Yes. Stop and think about the fact that this is breaking down the church in which you live in your own time. Three kinds of slander out there. Three kinds of slander. Rash judgment, detraction, and calumny. Rash judgment is when you slander somebody in the privacy of your own mind. Just in the privacy of your own mind, when you tear them down in your thoughts. Is that a sin? Yes, it is. Detraction is when you take your own thoughts and you share them with somebody else. Even if what you're saying is true, it's an even worse sin. And then it gets even worse. Calumny is when you tear somebody else down to another person and you don't even know if it's true or not. You don't care. You're having such a fun time tearing that person down. And stop and consider this prohibition against slander that St. Paul wants to lead the people in. This applies to politicians. This applies to celebrities. This applies to everybody. Be exemplary citizens. And the very first thing that he tells us to do now is to avoid slander. We're trying to establish the church in a very hostile environment, just like St. Paul was trying to help Titus to do the same so many years ago. And it reminds us of the meaning of the word holy. Holy means different. That's what it means. Our Lord intended that his followers would be visibly different from everybody else. And we have to stop and ask ourselves, are we visibly different from the rest of the world? I think Catholics are any measurably visibly different from non-Catholics out there. I think you'd have to say the answer is no. We've been influenced by the world more than we have influenced the world. We were sent out by our Lord to be centers of healing, and we've caught the disease. No wonder we lost the power to heal. And although that might be true for Catholics as a generality, it's important to remember it doesn't have to be true for you. So we just heard this gospel in which only 1 in 10 people cured came back and did the right thing. Only 1 in 10. We need to be that 1 in 10. Heck with what everybody else is doing. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Strive for holiness, even if you're the only one in your home striving for holiness. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Strive to be holy for the love of God. And never relent in persevering and in being faithful to Him. Amen.